Chris Ferrazzi and BoopOne.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 299. There are some corners of the universe which have bred the most terrible things, things that act against everything that we believe in. They must be fought. And here's Debbie Melrose. Oh, fuck off.
And there's my phone.
Go on, Debbie.
Will somebody please tell me what it all means?
Andy Nunny, everybody.
I feel myself again.
I bet you do.
Oh, really?
That was inordinately funny.
You say that's tickled everybody, hasn't it?
Yes.
And Mary Lang.
They are not dead. They are altered.
Very good. Right, and we're just about to have a bit of fun with Kirby. Okay, right. Now, you get extra points in the forthcoming quiz if you can guess what Kirby's first words will be. Now, I'm having the first go because I won last week. He will say is, about time. Right, so I'm saying about time. Right then, Debbie, what do you think?
My vote was going for it's about time.
It's about time. So there's a slight difference there.
Yep.
Right, Mary?
Oh, something about are you having trouble with your equipment?
Buying a Mac, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy?
I'll just go with can you hear me?
Okay, so here we go. We're now going to, hopefully it'll be there, otherwise this is going to fall a bit flat. What's his name again? Kirby Bartlett Sloane. There we go.
I hope he still loves us.
Where have you been for the past year?
Nobody got it, so no points to anybody.
We were laying bets on what you were going to say when he finally put you on.
Where have you been for the past 20 years, obviously?
Right. And Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Wait a second.
What? You've had
I don't
this
know what
time.
Anyone else has said.
You've yep, had, Kirby, but, we're recording.
Well, I don't know what your quotes were. What if
doesn't
I
doesn't matter. What is your
one? Well, if you manage to think of a quote that none of the other of us, can I say it in English this time? I haven't even had a stellar. If you can manage to say a quote that none of the others have said, I'll give you a point in the quiz. Go on.
Why not make some coffee to keep them all happy while
well
I think of something?
Done.
Yay.
That's good.
Well done. So after all that, we get no points. You get 1 point. Okay. Welcome to the show. This is the last of our 200s. What are you crying for? Is that because you joined during the 200s?
Yes, it's emotional time. Mm.
Well, in that case, and Kirby and Mary joined in the noughties, which is quite rather appropriate in some ways. This week, we're going to be looking at the moon base. So we might as well get straight on.
Just look up.
What?
Look up. Look at that satellite going around the Earth. There's...
Yes, Kirby. Is it set around the same time as now, then? What year was it set in?
Actually, it's set in 2070. No, do I get a point?
We're not quite there yet, are we?
Ding.
No.
Ding.
No, you don't get a point. Okay, the story begins with some cartoons, funny enough. They've all gone a bit cartoony.
I didn't watch that for the first episode. I watched the Pines narrated. I thought I'd give them both a go.
Oh, no, I didn't have time to do that, although maybe I should have done.
I considered doing it that way.
I didn't actually get to see
you shouldn't make the assumption everyone watched the DVD version.
I can make all the assumptions I like. It's my show. So
yes,
I'm assuming
master.
Everybody
so he
has
makes the rules.
Yeah. Affirmative, master. I thought it was nice to do the first one with the stills and the narration, and then I did the third one with the card with the animation. So I got the best of both worlds.
Wow, there's a true fan.
I wanted to see.
So, like I say, we got back to the story. The TARDIS lands. Wow, it's on the moon, isn't it? Let's face it.
On the moon.
You don't essentially know it. I love that the space.
Is there a Jadoon platoon?
On the moon.
You poet. You know it. Yeah, so.
Probably.
They Yeah, they land on the moon, and I nearly got the mid-sentence out.
Isn't it fascinating how the spacesuits that the doctor happens to have in that chest are the exact same type that the personnel at the moon base use?
You cynic.
It's a magic chest is what it is.
Yes, maybe he nicked him in the future or something like that, when he went for a previous visit or something. I don't know. But, yeah, as I was trying to say, they're not very good, these suits. Well, they got like a Coke bottle attached to them at the back.
Yeah, I was noticing that too, the little plastic bottle of air.
Yeah, that'll keep them going for a bit, won't it?
We across the lunar landscape and bouncing about like
yeah. Yeah. And the doctor says about...
vacuum would crush in an instant.
Yeah, the doctor said about if you pierce the suit, you're dead instantly or something like that. But, I mean, the suits were not even suits, were they? Let's face it. You can almost see their bare hands.
If you look at the pictures again on the DVD in the section with pictures, and you cannot see this when you see the suits in the actual video, there are holes in the helmet for their breathing as well.
I've noticed that. Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, and I want to know how Jamie stuffed his kilt into one of those.
Yeah.
He's got it hiked up, obviously.
I had to be puzzled, yes. I was like, when I realised in the second episode, was it, yeah, that he had his kilt on, I was like, huh?
Did he stuff that into a spacesuit?
How did he get that in a suit? Yeah.
Yes, because anybody who knows kilts, there's a lot of fabric there. Yeah.
So anyway, they sort of, once they're out on the moon surface, they do a bit of messing around, sort of jumping up and down for a bit. But that's when the doctor says about, be careful, if you puncture them, you're dead. Like I say, they've got Coke bottles attached to the back of them. Jamie sort of jumps a bit too high, doesn't he, and comes a cropper.
Yes, it was like he throughout this story, Jamie sort of is out of action for a while, then the doctor doesn't say anything for almost a whole episode.
He's just watching.
It was like they were sort of being given holidays again or something.
Anyway, so Jamie gets his unconscious body gets carted inside of this, what obviously is a some base of some variety, but no,
kind of
later it's the moon base, but we didn't know that until,
How did he manage to bang his head? Because he's got that plaster on his forehead. Yeah. I mean, how did he actually manage to do that inside a helmet?
Yeah, right.
Rattled around inside it or something, yeah.
Mary hadn't thought of that one. But, yeah.
I was too busy thinking about his kilt.
I bet you were.
Well, hey.
So anyway, inside the moon base, there's something weird going on with this machinery. People keep on passing out. And we find very quickly that they're trying to control the weather of Earth.
They have been successfully controlling the weather of
Earth.
Wasn't
that later on, people have seen late future episodes, the Seeds of Doom, I think it's called. Was it Seeds of Death? I think Seeds of Death. And they're on the moon then as well. Weren't they controlling the weather from the moon there as well? I can't remember now.
I can't remember.
I think they were,
Yeah, I don't remember. I've seen that. Don't remember.
We'll wait and see on that one. Sorry, you were going to say, Kirby.
Because we don't have you guys who watch the reconstructions rather than the animated versions, the prop maker didn't deliver finished control desks. So in the first episode, if you look closely, you can see this in some of the stills, that they simply slapped some little squares of paper down on the control desk.
Yeah, I saw that in a couple of the stills,
Since they filmed these week to week, which still is strange, by the time a week had gone by, they managed to refit them with real controls.
I never noticed that.
I didn't notice, because I just watched the animated one.
Did you find that by research, or did you find it by actually watching it yourself?
I found it by infotext.
Oh, well, there you go then.
And I'd heard about it.
Anyway, so we met a few members of the crew, the ones that are still alive, one of which is Andre from 40 Towers episode, Gourmet Night.
And also in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, a much underrated
movie. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in the 40 Towers link, to be fair, Debbie.
Are you sure?
What?
Are you sure that's in?
Yep. Stop, you vicious. Boop. I'm warning you, and he hits the car with a tree.
Oh, he is. You're right.
No, he is. What do you take me for, Kirby?
It was a week or two ago. Someone was thinking someone from
me.
Charlie. Yeah, someone. Okay. That wasn't so me. That was Debbie.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Being particularly stupid.
Oh, Debbie, don't be hard on yourself. Just because you can't reach certain levels of pedantry doesn't make you a bad person.
Well, besides Master,
yes?
Master, besides being Andre in Gourmet Night, he was also a sergeant in 6 of the Pink Panther films.
Was he? Well, that's another good claim to fame then.
Sergeant, I'm going to mispronounce this horribly because I cannot speak French. Francois Chevalier.
Sounds good to me.
Not bad, actually. Not bad going. Yeah, Chevalier, yeah.
Francois. Chevalier, yeah.
Anyway, that's his story.
Are we keeping you awake?
I'm
probably
tired.
He's just had a bath. He's all ready for sleep.
It's true, actually.
And he's in his onesie.
We get a load of sort of technical information regarding the moon base and what the gravitron is, and then some more people flake out and get taken to the medical area where Jamie is, funny enough.
I
do quite like the effect that they created with all the veins sort of thing crawling across the people's faces.
Yeah. I like that. That
very
was
imaginative.
That was quite
bloody
good,
ages to actually do. And then we see a glimpse of a Cyberman with his golf balls attached to his arms.
What is that? Yeah, not even proper golf balls. You know, the
kids. They're wiffle balls.
They're practice balls.
Practice golf balls, yeah.
Golden Bennett.
What's the matter with that?
No, it's just odd that they've evolved to have that odd attachment.
Yeah, but these Cybermen have got plastic.
But they also have the three fingers, long pointed fingers.
Yeah,
five in the previous story that they were in. Anyway,
actually,
Jamie.
I think Cybermen must be very sporty. They've got golf balls, they've got cricket gloves. Yeah, they are quite sporty, aren't they?
it's a very Jamie light episode, unfortunately. He does get to do a lot of lying down and sort of sitting up.
The Piper.
Now, what was it? The Piper had a longer name than that, Kirby. It was the Phantom Piper.
I suppose that was one of someone's quotes, but I wouldn't know.
I was waiting for someone to do the Billy Piper link for that one, but nobody came up with it. Anyway, meanwhile, the bloke that's looking after Jamie goes down to the store and gets zapped by a sort of cyber lightning bolt.
Is that the guy who goes looking after Jamie?
No.
I thought Ben got sent down.
Oh, sorry, that's right. Yeah, I lost it because you put me off. I was in the middle of watching that bit, and then you put me off because I was watching. Never mind. So, yeah, you get it.
The guy in the storeroom was the one black crew member.
Yeah.
Ralph.
That's right, yes.
He wasn't wearing a red shirt, was he?
Well, you don't know. It's black and white. So, yeah, at this point, suspicion is starting to fall on, surprise, surprise, on the Doctor and his friends. As the episode draws to a close, and like I say, the Phantom Piper arrives, and Jamie sits up and does a bit of, well, Fraser does a bit of dramatic acting, doesn't he?
The Piper!
Yeah.
Don't take me!
At least his Scottish accent sort of got a little bit less distinct as we went on. Anyway, Polly walks back in the room and screams and drops her
water.
Her Starbucks cup. and then explains to everybody what's going on. Like we say, at least she didn't cry. Just a little bit of a... And I love the way he says, I think it was a Cyberman.
I do like that later on when the Doctor says, when the Cyberman says to the Doctor, you are known to us, well, you're new to me.
Yeah.
I do like that. But he still gets the fact that if, you know, Polly, he's heard of them, he knows them vaguely, you know.
Yeah.
Look through the diary quick.
Yes, right, yeah, he does look at the diary. Mm. But that's a bit disappointing in a way. He should just automatically know because he is the Doctor. He shouldn't...
Well, Hobson says a couple of times, well, every kid at school knows about the Gravitron, and then every kid at school knows about the Cybermen.
When the Cyberman finally sees the Doctor, the Cybermen go, we know you.
Mm. But he knew the Daleks straight away in his first story, so why would he doubt the his knowledge of the Cybermen?
Exactly, because that's what I meant. That's what, you know, yeah. As soon as Polly says the Cyberman, he's like, are you sure? And then he's like, hang on a minute, I better look in my diary. Why am I scared of these things? You know, why am I worried about them?
Anyway, there's a point in which the doctor decides he's sort of going to give out some medical help, and Polly asks him, oh, are you a doctor of medicine? He said, do you believe I have a degree somewhere along the line? And so has a very funny little conversation.
1888 degree? Yeah.
And so he goes around taking little samples off people and literally takes the shoe at someone while he's standing, and the bloke didn't even notice. I think I might notice someone's fiddling around with his shoe, to be fair.
I like the bit when Benoit tells him off for it, he's shouting.
Oh,
in the
that's
thread.
What it's
And I think he says something like, what does he say back to him? And he's like, something, you know, thank you, monsieur, or something like that.
And he goes, he sort of launches into a bit of French and that, and the doctor sort of speaks back to him. But what about the TARDIS translation
master,
circuit?
Master.
I've brought something out that's woken Kirby up. Master. Yes?
The the translation of what he says there is, well, the what are you doing here, fool idiot? You have nothing else to do? You think we're enjoying ourselves?
Yeah, and then he says, enchanté, monsieur. That's it, yeah. Mm.
But like I say, they were in France 2 years prior to this and didn't have any trouble. They didn't have to switch between English and French.
Yeah, that's true.
TARDIS translation circuit.
Malfunctioning, yeah. Obviously,
it's
at this
selective.
Point. Oh,
the
it's selective, is it?
Must have interfered with it if someone's going to be, you know, wonder what happened there. The gravitron did it.
Yeah. So a couple of lads go out onto the moon's surface.
And how do we know that they didn't understand it? That we're seeing this from a third person point. Maybe they did understand what
hang
he
on,
said.
We're seeing all of it from a third person point, yet we're still able to understand all sorts of different languages while watching Doctor Who. So the TARDIS circuits must have an effect on us. What am I saying? It's a science fiction fantasy TV show, for goodness sake. Yes. Anyway, like I say, a couple of lads go out in the moon service and get chopped by a couple of Cybermen. Basically, cyber chopped and killed.
Yeah,
well, no, sorry. Rendered unconscious because they're not being killed. The Cybermen need them, don't they? Another person sort of collapses after Polly makes a round of coffee.
Yes.
Why did you make some coffee? Okay. Yeah, go on. Sorry, Andy.
But really quickly and dramatic, that wasn't it? You know, he really wanted to make sure he got his part in well, didn't he?
Yeah.
And also, it was a lot quicker than the previous.
Sugar is bad for you. Yeah.
Well, and Jamie, who's just been diagnosed with a concussion, is running around drinking coffee, right for a concussion.
Yeah, I've had some blood pressure. A cup of coffee that'll keep me awake.
He's getting better. When the guy collapsed after the coffee incident, the doctor says, don't touch the skin. And yet, everyone's been touching the skin of the people who've been affected all along, all before this.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Indeed. Anyway, so episode 3 begins with, it's gone back to cartoon.
We've become a cartoon again.
And the Cybermen, I forgot to, because you were talking, I glossed over the end of episode 2, which is really, really cool, where the doctor says, did you check everywhere? Did you check in here? And they sort of look around, and the Cybermen sits up in a very aggressive and scary way.
Almost knocks the table over.
Yeah, brilliant. I love that scene. It's really, really good. It's so effective. Only because of Patrick Troughton, I think. It just really brings that scene to life and the sort of the scariness of it. Then I think someone gets shot, don't they? Shot dead, in fact.
The guy with the glasses.
Yeah. And, the Cybermen start speaking in a very difficult to understand voice. That's why I had
what subtitles are for.
Yeah, I know, but in those days...
It sounded like one of those machines that people who've had that... what's the operation in the throat?
The larynx.
That's what it was.
And they did use that, yeah.
Yeah, but it was some of the words, if without the subtitles, I would not have understood what they were saying.
No, I
have subtitles that I did not understand.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Not you, him. I'm deciding to have a very noisy scratch at that particular point.
Now, is Debbie recording this?
Hey? Why would Debbie be recording it?
No, I'm not recording it for...
So, but she's going to be recording the podcast very soon.
Yes, I know, and I will be ready for it.
We have established this many weeks ago, Kirby.
Every week we reassure you it will be fine.
And if you need that much reassurance, record it at your end as well.
One of the Cybermen looks like he's got a slight slouch in the animated version.
I haven't spotted that.
No, I didn't spot that.
Yeah.
I guess it's because he's looking down at the doctor, but it just looks strange.
Maybe. Oh, well, now he's doing a disgusting licking of his genitals. Stop it! For God's sake!
Who's the doctor?
No, magic!
So anyway. Or is that Andy feeling himself?
Well, actually, I thought it might be Jamie with his kilt, you know.
Meanwhile, the Cybermen send one of their little sort of robo-men into the headquarters of the base, and he sort of gains access to the Gravitron, while the brilliant Polly works out that the chest units might not be made of metal, and they may be plastic, and find something that melts plastic, and they sort of mix a concoction of
solvents. Ether, alcohol, acetone, and epoxy propane.
Yeah, nail varnish and move it.
Blowing the whole base up doing that.
Yeah, they could have done, yeah, but I suppose they had to take the risk.
Somebody has to have a chemistry degree to know
I had never heard of epoxy propane before, so I looked it up, and it does exist. It is a solvent. It's also carcinogen.
We have a visitor, by the way, folks. Young Stormageddon has just come to join us.
Is he talking yet?
No. He chumps his way to himself. He's nearly crawling. He's trying to roll over, and he's chewing a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's trying to eat things. I mean, he's trying to eat the order of service in church the other day, and he's sitting there grinning at me, aren't you? You going to say anything? Got anything to say? Hello?
No. Don't make him cry again, please.
No, don't make him cry.
Anyway. Shut up, magic. So, yeah.
One of the odd things, I don't know what the little bottles are really made of, but they look like they're made of plastic, which means they had poured all the solvent in there.
Yeah.
I definitely assume that those are glass.
Yeah, sure. you would hope so. So meanwhile, there are lots of Cybermen start arriving on the moon, but Ben and Polly, very good, actually, the way they sort of take
almost
that.
As if you had a platoon of Jadoon.
Yeah. Ben and Polly... sort of do attack a few Cybermen and do kill a few of them with their concoction, but nevertheless, and they block
any
off.
Any pictures of all the foaming?
I haven't looked into them. To be fair, I just found that the hat that the Gravitron operators wore quite funny.
Yeah, it looks like a swim cap.
Yeah. Well, did you notice in the which episode? There's one episode where the guy. The doctor, when Evans goes in and takes over the Graviton control, and he's knocked out the one guy, he takes the hat and he puts it on.
He puts it on wrong. Yeah.
He puts it on backwards.
But then
a minute later,
he's got it back the right way.
The camera goes back in, so it's on correctly.
Yeah. I noticed that.
I thought he had, you know. Meanwhile,
sorry, we're keeping you away.
Jamie has recovered and he's happily drinking Polly's previously dangerous coffee.
I don't know if it's sugar that's coffee.
No, they specifically say
it's sugar. I know.
I'm trying to,
generate some comedy for the show, Kirby. I'm allowed to do this. That's right, because they keep on getting pestered by Earth, don't they?
Yes.
By the controller, and I don't
think.
Yes,
with a very irritating. The upper official who has this very... His accent is so smarmy.
Yeah, I don't think Hobson liked him very much.
No.
No, Hobson didn't give him the time of day, did he? No.
And then they puncture the dome, and I quite like that scene, actually. Again, they try and plug it with a...
coat.
With a coat, and it sucks out, and then they use a tray. I think some air would have sort of sneaked out the side of the tray, to be fair, but it was a good scene to sort of show.
I like the way they were looking at it, sort of marvelling at the fact they did it as well.
Yeah. No, people kept going up and examining it like it was something. I mean, it's a plastic tea tray. It's not going to last, fellas.
No.
But
it was a good bit of education about the fact
they
that
could,
was a
they could go along room. Later and quote some Lewis Carroll like a tea tray in the sky.
Yeah. But they got sucked out, anyway. Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Of course, then that we're not worried about the man-sized hole that the Cybermen were coming and going out of.
Yeah,
that they were packing with sugar bags, you know.
Yeah, say it's sugar to seal up a hole. It's really good. Storm again to go for a bath now. Anyway, bye, Stormy.
Bye, Stormageddon. Anyway, meanwhile, the Doctor realises that they could use the Gravitron, if they point it at the surface of the moon, to deflect the Cybermen away from the moon. But unfortunately, it's got a lockout mechanism. But they realise they can switch off the lockout mechanism, and off go the Cybermen. I forgot to mention about the relief ship, of course, that got sent into the sun.
You don't understand, because they might be deflected from landing on the moon, but that doesn't mean they can't, you know, get control again and, you know, fly somewhere else. So I mean, survive. I don't know why they're suddenly hopeless.
We will survive. So they did survive, because it's not that much longer before we see them again. Yeah, so that was the moon base. I know it was a bit quick, but I don't care. Yeah, the moon base, it was quite enjoyable. I think it was better than last week's story.
Definitely.
It was one of the better... and they did actually admit it was a base under siege, because I think those words were more or less used in the plot, in the script. And it served that purpose brilliantly. Quite a large cast as well. The only thing is, I'd say, a bit disappointing, wasn't much of Jamie, because Jamie's one of my most favourite characters in Doctor Who of all time. But on the whole, I really enjoyed it. It's not the best one ever, but it's still a really, really good story. And like I said, I'll repeat myself, one of the better Bases Under Siege stories. What did you think, Mrs. Melrose?
Again, I liked it. As you said, it is one of the better, you know, Under Siege storylines, definitely. And I was very surprised at how many people were actually involved in the story, because a lot of the times they'll just keep it to a very small crew.
They will.
But there were so many different members of the teams, and also with the how many Cybermen there were as well. It was really quite nice to see so many people involved in a basic episode. Hello, Isla. What did you think of it?
Yeah, what do you think, Isla?
Say great. Great. Good girl.
Excellent. So, Isla, you get one of these.
All right, baby.
Master.
Oh, God,
Master.
Yes.
Speaking of all those Cybermen, one of them was played by John Levine.
Oh, that's right, yes.
They say that, but I never saw his name in the credits.
No, they did not have him in the credits. But he was one of the army of them that was filmed separately on the moon.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So what did you think of it then, Andy?
I haven't finished.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she hasn't finished.
Where's Kirby started talking?
Simply interrupting.
Oh, well, that's a surprise. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
I was going to say that it is Jamie Light, but he does drive a lot of the story because of the Piper and the whole idea of in Jamie's day they used to sprinkle witches with holy water. It's what gives Polly the idea for the solvent mix. Yeah. And it's really good that I saw the different versions of it and everything, but it kept going. It was another one of those brilliantly done storylines, and it was fun to watch. And the Cybers were quite funny. The bit when they all went up into space was beautifully done. Enjoyed it.
Right. Andy?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. It's the Cybermen were a bit difficult to hear. I should have put subtitles on, because sometimes they've got a very much sing-song voice, but it's difficult to understand what they're saying. But Base Under Siege, yes, definitely was that. And I thought the way that... Doctor came into it, then dropped out, then came back in again. In fact, they all did that. I mean, the problem with this was three companions is too many. You know, we had the same with Davison when he had three companions, there was too much for them to do. But I think what was good was having Jamie, seeing he was the Piper, thinking he's back in his own time, and he finding it very difficult to follow what's going on. So I think that that helped the story move along quite a bit, because obviously you had Ben and Polly, who, although it's their future, they actually had a better understanding of what the future was going to be like and what could happen, whereas Jamie was pretty much clueless about what actually happened. You know, when he said, you know, are we going to see the man in the moon? Because, you know, he couldn't contemplate the moon, you know, being able to get to the moon at all.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was enjoying that. I was expecting you to continue. Yes, thank you, Andy. go on then, Kirby.
Oh, I love this one.
Okay, then. And
one of the things about this that I noticed is that the Doctor has become, his personality is toned down a little bit from the comedy. He's become more of the little bit more scheming, thoughtful And the stovepipe hat has disappeared, which I hope it's gone completely. I don't know. We'll see next week.
And he couldn't really wear it with his spacesuit.
No, but...
Well, and except for his comedic way of going about trying to find the source of the poisoning. I mean, that was
very funny. Yeah.
And apparently the toning down was due to a respect he had for the director.
Oh.
And that the according to either Infotext or... No, actually, it was in the extra about making this. The director would call him over to one side and just quietly say, let's just tone down a little bit with the mugging. And that created a more interesting, to me, performance. Now, another thing, did you notice where he had the little conversation with himself?
Yes.
That was weird.
Very clever, that was.
And he's still doing that. He did it on the Orient Express.
Oh, that's right,
There he used Tom Baker's voice as one of the voices.
Oh, good. I'm glad you pointed that out because, yeah, I did think at the time it was a bit weird. But, yeah, it's okay, yeah. Thanks for that, Kirby. Anything else?
Anyway, the only other funny thing is when the Cybermen, the whole Cyberman army is marching along. When you see them in the live action on the beginning of episode 4, is the plywood floor is kind of flexing.
Oh, right.
underneath the soil.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was great. I really enjoyed this one.
Okay.
It's definitely been a treat so far.
Mary.
Well, like you said, Adam, this one was better than last week's, and I think anything would be better than last week's. So I think we come off of a real low and kind of over-appreciate this one because it is, you know, so much better, or it seems that way. But, I mean, I just kept shaking my head over the ridiculous science throughout, you know, like Polly making up that mix with no thought to, you know, how she could, you know, blow the whole place up by mixing those things together. You know, and Jamie, how did he stuff his kilt into the spacesuit, the little plastic bottles of oxygen, you know, that would have instantly imploded out in the hard vacuum.
We don't know what they're made of.
Plastic.
Yeah. It might be metal. Cause, I mean, you think they come from what, fire extinguishers, don't they? So they're going to have some sort of possibly corrosive.
Except,
element
no,
in them.
You can see through them. You can see the little tube going into them.
Yeah, you can see
them.
Right through the. And I love their little mod sunglasses when they have their helmets on. They're so cute.
Oh, I've considered changing my Facebook avatar to be the picture of, I believe it's either Jamie or Ben with the sunglasses as a cartoon form, because it's just so bizarre looking.
They are. Now, I did read where the reason Jamie is not so much in this episode is because when they wrote it, they did not know that he would be in it.
So who was going to be the one?
No decision
that was
made to keep him. So then when they did decide to kind of shoehorn him in, they kind of split the things that would have happened to Ben and that to Jamie. So that's like everything that would have happened to Ben has been kind of split between the two of them.
Right. Ben has been given some of the doctor's lines, too.
Oh, well, possibly.
The doctor doesn't speak for almost 17 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think I wrote it down that the doctor hadn't actually spoken for a certain amount of time.
I didn't notice that.
No, I didn't notice it either, because obviously the story was being driven along very successfully.
Right before he realizes that the zombies are under sonic control and he talks to himself, he's actually not spoken other than saying, "You're new to me," to the Cybermen at the beginning.
Yeah, and they were also worried that Jamie would, if they did keep him in the story, he would be so overwhelmed by all the modern stuff, you know, that they didn't really know how to write him, which is another reason why they didn't originally write for him. And you're right, if he got some of the doctor's lines, that may be why Ben sounds so smart, because that
Ben sounds
coming out of
what
his
he
mouth
says
sounds like something
what?
Ben would say.
Sure.
And also,
went right over everybody's heads, didn't it?
Supposedly the beginning of the new launch of Doctor Who on a more international commercial basis, because this is when they really wanted to start selling the episodes around, you know, whatever market would take them, which is why we're seeing the beginning of really big international casts was to have that appeal to other markets, that there were people representing them. But I noticed there's no Americans in this one, so I don't know if just weren't thinking about the American market.
Yeah, but they need to be
really rubbish at American.
Americans have got their own space.
They need to have people that can pronounce English words correctly. So they probably
choose the French and the Dane.
But I'm such a kick out of the little tie around the Frenchman's neck, thinking, oh, this is just being suave French. Well, it turns out that when they printed his name tag, that it was misspelled. So they were using the tails of his tie to hide his name tag as much as possible. Master.
Sort of. It's not misspelling. It's that when the script was originally written, they realized that they had named two characters Jacques. And so they changed his name to and they had those name tags made, but they changed his name to Roger.
Roger.
So they would have the neckerchief hide the J.
Yeah, but what having two people called Jacques, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, because he was the second in command.
I think dramas have gradually sort of realised this. They also have people going to the toilet and things like that, which they never would have done in this day. I mean, that's one of the things about my novel, Unwilling Virgin. I specifically brought characters into the story that had the same name, but of a slightly different derivative of that name, because it's real life. And that's, although I think it makes it more believable. That's why a lot of people thought that The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin was actually true, because of the fact that the characters were so real. And that's only what people have told me. I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet, but that is the case. Shut up, you.
The last thing that I have to say is that part of this international marketing of Doctor Who is that this is the beginning of interchangeable episodes of a new monster every week, an international cast, stories that can be shown pretty much in any order. So overall, I did enjoy it. But like I said, the rubbish science kept getting in the way.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Master?
Good. Yes?
The only science that really bugged me.
Yes.
Was the amount of time it was taking to get from Earth to the moon, and then the moon to the sun.
That too. What? I mean, anybody approaching the moon at that speed would be liquefied.
I was going to say, it's like, it'll be here in 15 minutes.
I think anybody approaching the sun at that speed would be dead before they get burned up.
Not alive, but they'll
be here. Why is nobody listening to me today? Am I invisible or something? What's going on?
Yes.
I don't
see you.
Grief. Right then.
Who's talking?
I'll be quiet. Right then, it's now time for feedback.
Excellent.
What do you mean, excellent? Feedback. No answer.
Excellent. Feedback. Feedback. Yeah. Excellent.
Feedback.
How you doing there? Billy here.
Yay.
Okay.
Yay.
Moonbase by Kit Pedler. A base under siege by the Cybermen. What a great story this was. It is, in fact, how I like my Doctor Who. Short with four parts that doesn't drag. Great stuff. Interesting plot with the weather controller on the moon and the Cybermen wanting to seize the base to use the weather controller to destroy the Earth. Great stuff. But what I like more about this story was actually Pat Troughton's portrayal. He's fantastic. His charisma, his mannerisms, great stuff. You know, having not seen much of the black and white era until recently, I've never seen Ben in my life. And I think what a great character he is, or he was. I love his interactions with Polly. Well, what's he call her? Duchess or something? Great stuff. And who wouldn't enjoy Polly? She's proper Bonnie. She really is. Anyway. I love the rest of the cast in this story, particularly the French guy who played André in Fawlty Towers.
Thank you.
Gourmet Nights, whose name escapes me right now. But I thought he did a great job. André, I'll call him. I find it interesting that Polly worked out that you can kill the Cybermen by using nail polish. You know, over the history of Doctor Who, I found this a massive inconsistency. I mean, my first impression of the Cybermen is that you could kill them with gold. And as far as I can recall, the first reference to this was in Revenge of the Cybermen. And its last reference was in, was it Silver Nemesis? Yes. And I think in the new series, there's never been any reference to gold killing a Cyberman. And I think that's a bit of a pity, because it just shows some inconsistency. That's just my thoughts. But anyway, I thought the notion of the neurotropic virus characterised by the marks on the bodies following the nervous system was quite good. Effective, I thought. And something similar to what we saw in Revenge of the Cybermen as well. But no matter. Despite the fact that some of this story is missing, and I think I saw one episode with the animated version, I thought it was a great story and I enjoyed it immensely. So great stuff. Apart from that, I'm looking forward to next week, the 300 celebratory episode of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
So am I.
Looking forward to that too. Okay. Congratulations, by the way. You've done well. And you've given me hours of listening pleasure. Thank you. Speak soon. Bye.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Master?
Yes.
Master?
Yes.
Yes.
You were referencing earlier that the Seeds of Death is also set on the moon. What that is, that's the hub of the TMAT teleportation system.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
not
sorry.
The weather.
Yeah, no spoilers there, everybody who hasn't seen that episode. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. Yes, that also say, back to Billy, has anyone had a chance to see Billy's Wife's film about him?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's
really
cool,
isn't
it? It's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, well worth watching.
Yeah.
It's just a lovely little biopic, isn't it? That, And is sort of nice to see his love of Doctor.
Where does one see this?
Well, if you pay attention to things, Kirby, you would have seen it ages ago. Isn't that right, everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Oh, sorry, Mary. Sorry.
So, I asked the question again.
We'll ask Billy to send you the link.
Yeah.
Say, Billy,
why did he not,
can you send me the link,
post
please?
It someplace?
I can't
it's
remember.
On YouTube. Hang on a second, Kirby. If I copy, I'm going to say, there we go.
Anyway.
Copy shortcut. Tell you what, I will post it onto the website.
On the 20 megabyte Doctor Who.
Hang on, bear me 2 seconds.
I don't know if Billy really wants it showing
one,
on there. But
two,
there you go.
Three, four, five.
What?
He hey said, go. Give him 2 seconds. It's been way over 2 seconds.
Right. Well, it's on there now. There you go. It's on now.
Right, can I continue with feedback, please?
Yeah.
No, I suppose.
Mrs. Lovely Melrose Person.
What?
You've got some feedback that's just arrived on your lap for you to read in your best...
Don't we have another audio feedback?
I'm doing this bit first, thank you very much, Kirby. Sorry, Debbie, would you mind?
Yes, I'll oblige. It's from Alan. Dear 20 megabyters, it has come to my attention that you are talking about the moon base this week and that you are largely enjoying Troughton's tenure as the Doctor very much so far. These things certainly do you credit. Albeit this story is pretty much a broadly improved version of The Tenth Planet, it has always been especially close to my heart. One of my early Doctor Who reads, the book is a little dryly written, but still managed to be fascinating to a very young me, and even inspired me to a half-decent version of the book cover drawn in art class at school. The remaining episodes, first available on the Cybermen, the early years VHS were, for me, a semi-mystical keyhole glimpse to the very early Troughton period. The DVD with animation made me very happy, and I find it one of the most authentic feeling animations when viewed with the live-action episodes. I agree with that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this also works well on a narrated soundtrack, as the linking pieces spoken by Fraser Hines make up for a relative lack of Jamie through much of the story. Annika Wills' reading of the Target novelisation Doctor Who and the Cybermen is highly recommendable as a great dramatic reading of this early high-quality novelisation enlivened by an effective soundscape. Keep up the good work, given consummate professionals that you are. I know you will. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Thank you for calling us.
Detect a note of sarcasm or irony in that text, that what
good,
he wrote.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. You're so innocent, Debbie.
Oh, bless me?
You. Yeah. Okay, we've got some audio feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast is in camp.
Yay!
The Moon Base by Kit Pedler. Someone is listening to every word we say.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
The base is expecting a doctor. They use something similar in the Husbands of River song.
Yeah,
the shower cap that controls a gravitron looks silly.
Yes.
We have new Cybermen costumes and new voices. At the end, I hope they could use the gravitron to rescue the relief ship that was sent towards the sun.
Yes.
When they use the gravitron to attack the Cybermen and their ships, it does not disturb the moon dust. And there are no stars in the sky. Oh dear, I sound like a conspiracy theorist. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Hey, it was Ian Kirk, everyone.
Hey. Yes, it was.
He's back.
Front and sides, too.
So, yes, that was feedback. Oh, or maybe not, if Debbie has discovered something on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
I'm trying not to use it so much, because
why?
Obviously I go a bit share.
Oh, I see. You've got Kirby's internet system at the moment.
I think so. I'm just pulling up the page now, but it's going very slow, so it looks like tonight okay. I'm...
Well, I'm sorry I've made you do this.
That's all right.
She's gone all Ben now.
All right.
Oh, did anyone see that the shut up magic, the letter that I posted that got from Janet Fielding in the...
Yes. That was so cool.
You didn't sound very impressed when I initially posted it, but here it is. That's the sound of what a letter
don't
from
damage it.
Janet Fielding.
Yeah,
somebody said about blood on it. I don't think it's blood. I think it's rust. Well, it might
say,
be because it was in, you know, those old photo. Do you remember those old photo? I can't speak. Photographs albums that you used to do that had sticky inside pages, and you mount them and put this sort of cellophane over the top. Do you remember those type of photo albums?
Yes.
That's what it was stuck in with, and I think it's the glue gone funny. That's why it looks like it's got blood on it.
Yeah, we did that for a lot of our photo albums from the girls when we adopted them, and the it did some ruin. It ruined some of the pictures.
Yeah,
fortunately, I'll just do the same. I'll use a scanner and scan everything.
And I'm not too sure whether it's ruined any of the photographs that I had in the album, although some of them have gone a bit weird. My mum remarked on a photograph of me and her when I was about 10 that was very dark and red. She said she didn't remember it being that dark and red, but never mind. At least the letter survived. There was a photo with it as well that was to Adam Love Janet, but I don't know where I got what I did with the photo. It was like a signed photo of her in TV.
Debbie?
Yeah?
Sorry
if I'm boring you.
Wasn't it lucky that the calendar for this weekend just happened to be a quote from this story?
That was brilliant.
That's what I was enjoying too. When you
Thank you for posting that, because that meant I had a quote to start the show with.
It was just like,
bing. Oh, is that the quote you used?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know, because I don't know the quotes that any other people use.
I know. That'll give you a reason to listen to the show, which you hardly ever do, Kirby.
Yeah, that quote, though, when it was, it was all sort of going along, and then he just came up towards the camera and said that. I was just sat there going,
who says I don't listen to the show?
You do. And the amount
I always listen.
No, never mind. I don't believe that one.
Was written to say that he, didn't get round to it this week, but I hope to get caught up in time for next week.
Okay, well, I suppose
we don't have a show next. We don't have an episode.
We should still honour the feedback that comes in.
Yes, let's talk about next week for a bit before we move on. Yes, next week, that's the 5th of March. Can I? You turn into Kirby, Debbie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're saying. And next week, the 5th of March, that's at 6 p.m. GMT. That means Greenwich Mean Time, if anybody doesn't know what GMT is. We will be recording the 300th... I should let you say it, Debbie. The 300th
GMT,
episode...
Great morning tea.
And again, of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. hoping to get everybody in. We've had, even if it's in for a little while, I must say everybody, I mean everybody that is involved in the show or has been involved in the show for the last 6 years, whatever it's been. Was it 5 years? I can't remember. I'm losing track of time. 300 episodes, shall we say. I've had agreements from certain corners. I'm not going to talk about listeners that are going to come in because we'll save that to the day because I don't want to scupper anything. But if you want to appear for 5 minutes or so on the show, you need to PM me via the Facebook group. That's 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group. Or you can email us at 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, or 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Is that all right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is best?
Do those of us who are on every week have to do the same thing?
Shut up. Anyway, so if you want to be on the show, and you also have to send me via email your Skype ID so as I can contact you, add you, and then we'll arrange a time. You have to be available for 2 hours because I can't guarantee a time slot because I don't know quite how it's going to run, but you just have to be sitting by your computer for that time, in which I will contact you, we'll get you on, have a chat, and then tell you to bugger off. That's a joke, by the way.
That's not nice.
That's a joke, Kirby.
Well, hopefully they'll be nice to us. If they're nice to us, we'll be nice to them.
Really? So that's for you. That's how you can partake in the podcast next week.
The Gollum quote. I do apologise.
So we're looking at Ben Shoveler will pledged his momentary availability, which is what I really wanted. I just wanted people to come in. I'm hoping that Reese will come on. Robert sort of said he'll do it.
I wonder if we can get Matthew to.
Well, it would be. It would be. I think a bit rude for him not to. To be fair.
yes.
Well, at least we'll have Matthew in a month's time.
That's not our 300th episode, though.
I know.
So, Yes. Could you update the website for the 300th?
What do you mean?
Well, I look at the list of presenters and things like that. Completely out of date.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Which website? The Facebook page?
Yeah, no, the website.
Is it? Oh, sorry, I'll try, sir. I'm quite a busy man, you know.
What website?
Yeah, what website?
The 20MB.2podcast.podbean.com, Gerby. It's where we live. It's our website. You haven't.
I live in Georgia.
Oh, shut up!
God, I think Kirby's my spirit animal.
By the way,
I'm trying to talk about next week, and you lot have just talked over it. I'm going to set the dog on you next.
No, we should have the geek daughter at least on next week for a minute or two.
Yay!
Good, because Debbie and Isabella, that's one, will be joining me in here for some time, and I'm hoping to get Alicia on the phone for a split second or two.
Are you going to sort of move the table back and we're all going to sort of hutch up around the...
Don't know, I'm thinking about moving the computer into the living room where the clock resides.
Oh, because the clock's got to feature.
Yeah, the clock has been on many times.
Yeah, we haven't
not
heard
for a long time, though.
In ages.
Yeah, we had the door closed last time, didn't we? We could hear it, yeah.
I hope you're available for a while, because I don't know how long this recording's going to go on for, because I'm not limiting it, but I might have to edit it.
Yes, I have a feeling it may go for a while.
Yeah, no, I think I might come round and bring myself like a takeaway or something.
Oh, that's nice. Bring yourself a takeaway.
and your wife, Debbie, should come in and have you take her off to an appointment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
You should also record some of it. You should also record some of it in the Cardiff, shouldn't you?
Mm.
And the customers should come.
No, I'm not going to go that far. I just want to have the people that have been a big part of the show over the years.
They want to bring a big pack of biscuits.
have you considered setting up a camera and recording the whole thing camera pointing at you guys?
No, I haven't considered that, but we might take a photo. I'll tell you what, Debbie, I was being a bit selfish. Of course, you can bring a takeaway around because you won't have eaten all day, so that's fine.
No, I won't have not been at work all day. Dashing up the hill, literally, to come home.
So that's next week, everybody, our 300th episode. My dream for the 300th episode is that we get lots of people wanting to contact us and join the party in some ways, even if we get somebody from the podcast that had never heard of us. That's the Verity podcast, and I still feel a bit angry about the Verity podcast snubbing of our show, where, you know, we can't help being better than them. Right then, I think it's a good time to bring in the quiz of the week. It's this week's this week edition of Can't Speak Properly. Oh no, sorry, you won't get this one.
We won't.
Okay. Now, have you listened to the show recently, Andy?
What show?
Oh, God. So I was asking if you'd mentioned to listen to the show. I can't speak tonight. What's the matter with me? Because I'm absolutely knackered.
Predict Debbie.
I nearly got the words out again. if you listen to the show recently, Andy, you'll understand how the Joker system works. And
yes,
how
I have. Yes, I have been. I have been listening to it every week. So yes, and over.
Okay, right.
You've got to play a joke, and you get double points if you get it right.
And everyone forgets to play their Joker.
Yes, yes.
And if you do forget to play your Joker, or you get the Joker wrong, I get the points. I love that little twist of it. But initially, you've got to predict who is going to finish ahead before we get to.
Yeah, you had started doing that the last time I was on.
Okay, right. So, Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead at the doubling point stage of the game?
Kirby? Yeah.
Okay. Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the double points part of the game?
Debbie.
Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead at the double points part of the game?
Kirby.
Well,
okay. Ooh, a lot of faith in you, Kirby.
You had info text on, so you knew what the Cybermen were saying.
Kirby?
Kirby. Only half the episodes had info text.
Oh, Kirby.
More
yes? Master?
Who do you think is going to be ahead at the
Debbie.
Double? Okay. And I think that Kirby will be ahead at the
Ooh,
double
no
point.
Pressure, Kirby.
Right, game. He might deliberately scupper it, but it will mean he will lose. Okay, where's my iPad gone? I've lost my iPad. It's got my questions on it. Oh, it's down here. The dog was sitting on it. Right. Here we go. This is preparation for you. That's the wrong thing. Just talking about yourselves a bit while I get my page open.
Peas and carrots, peas.
Not for too long.
Peas and carrots.
Pardon me. That was a Kirby impression. I'm here every week.
No, I drink a little more of this Coke and I can do that.
I know. Okay, the first question goes to Debbie. Where's my pen? Oh, there it is. Debbie?
It's over there.
Debbie?
Yes?
How long did the doctor agree to allow Ben, Polly and Jamie for shore leave?
30 minutes.
2 points missed out of it, I think, there. Mary. Mary. Oh, Mary.
Yes?
Who took over the controls after we see the first man collapse? You won't get this one.
Ooh. You're right.
Oh, I know.
I don't know.
Apparently Debbie knows.
Jules.
Or not.
Oh.
It was Nils.
Oh.
Andy.
Hello, yep.
How long has the graviton been in use?
I know. Oh,
God. 20 years.
Yay.
Kirby.
Mazda.
What number did Schultz have on his uniform?
I don't know.
Ooh, I might know that one.
Go on in, Mary.
As soon as I find it. As soon as I find it. 13.
13, Mockingbird Lane.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
When was the next shuttle run due?
Joker.
Yeah.
Another month.
See, that's how you do it, boys. And girls. Oh, and I've lost track of how many points I added on then. Oh, well, you just have to settle for however many points I added on. How many points did you have before that, Deb? Do you remember? You don't, do you?
Two. I had two from my first question.
Okay. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What was the controller's name?
I know. I think of it at least.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go on then, Andy.
I think it's something like Brinberg.
Oh, that'll do. It was Rindberg,
but if you didn't have get the, it for a
yeah,
while,
if you didn't
you?
Have the
no, it was difficult to hear.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's
yeah. I went back and crossed out what I'd written first.
Kirby.
Wait, I thought it was.
Oh yeah, Andy. It's Andy's question. Yeah. I beg your pardon.
Oh,
Andy.
Okay. Yep.
Sorry, Andy. The question is this: what was the bespectacled man called? No, it wasn't that.
No, it wasn't.
Wow, I don't remember anybody with spectacles.
I remember the guy, he got killed by the Cybermen.
As did most of the characters in the story.
No.
No?
Yes, he got stretched. Oh, flipping heck.
I don't remember his name.
Oh, maybe I know.
Ralph.
Well, we need to...
Yeah.
Go on in, Mary.
No, that was the guy down in the stores.
Mary.
Yeah, I was going to say Ralph.
Oh, isn't that good? And now I'm going to say... Point three. Excellent.
Who was it then?
It was Bob. Bob.
Bob?
Bob.
Bob.
Right, Kirby?
Master.
Who was the first crewman to get the disease?
Oh, I think I...
That's the doctor. What was his name?
Doesn't have his name. That's it. The answer is the station doctor. That's
Evans,
it.
Yes.
Right, so let's have a score update, shall we?
By the way, this wasn't his first episode. This was his first episode, but wasn't his last to be in Doctor Who.
What are you talking about?
The actor who played Dr. Evans.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Right, then a score update. In last place, 1 point, it's Mary. In joint third place, with 3 points each, it's Andy and Kirby. Oh, that means in joint second place, because in joint first place is me and Debbie with 6 points each.
No, we are. We would be third then.
Master?
We'll be second. Joint second, yes.
No, we joint third.
No, second.
No,
because... Oh, yeah, it would be third, wouldn't it? Yes, Kirby.
Alan Rowe, his first role was Dr. Evans in the Moon Base. He was also Edward of Wessex in The Time Warrior, Colonel Skinsale in Horror Fraying Rock, and Griff in Full Circle.
Mm. I'm just waiting for Mary to say riveting.
Riveting.
No, normally when Kirby starts on about stuff, you go,
oh, okay.
Riveting.
I was going to say, there's nothing riveting about what he was talking about.
Okay.
Precisely.
Right. Next question goes to Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
What was Ben's first job within this story, obviously?
He can clear up some coffee cups.
Correct. Right, Mary.
Yes.
Who got attacked by the Cybermen in the storeroom?
I know.
That would be Ralph.
Yay!
And for bonus point, what number did he have?
I know.
No, I don't know his number.
Okay, go on then, Andy.
14.
Yay!
Right. Andy.
Yep.
How many crewmen were there in total?
Oh, I know.
Bloody hell.
I know.
12.
Go on in. Deborah.
19.
Okay. And that was Andy's go. So this is Kirby's go.
Master.
Which crewman died first in sick bay?
Well, he didn't really die, if you're talking about Evans.
Who is Evans specifically?
Dr. Evans. He came back.
Well, yeah, I wrote down he died, and then I wrote zombification.
The only one who really died.
Be quiet. The man that was. He wasn't Evans anymore after that. He was dead. He was a Cyberman.
Sorry. Oh, Master.
Oh, God,
look at the last episode, the last part of episode 4 where they all cheer, and Evans is standing off to one side with his number, which was 6.
Yeah.
I noticed number 6 for some reason. And He was perfectly normal. The lines were gone from his face. And
that's because they were just adding him to the... he was supposed to be in the background and nobody was supposed to notice that, Kirby. Whose go was that after all that?
Right? That was mine.
Right, okay. Debbie.
Yes.
I've lost where I was in the question list.
Right.
How did the doctor refer to... Sorry, I'll start again. What did the doctor refer to after Polly confirmed sighting of a Cyberman?
Well, his 500-year diary.
That's right.
Mary.
Yes.
I keep losing my place. How long was the doctor given to find the cause of the illness?
I know.
Oh,
use a joker, if you know.
I don't. I'm guessing. 24 hours?
Yeah.
Yay.
Why didn't you use your...
She said she was guessing.
I wasn't sure I was right.
Right. Andy.
Yep.
Where and when did the doctor take his medical degree?
Joker, Glasgow, 1888.
Excellent. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who educated the doctor?
Lister. Darn, I should have done the... It was Lister, but I said it before.
Okay, what's his first name?
I know.
Joseph?
I know. Yeah.
Wasn't it Dave Lister?
He specialises in Vindaloo.
Lister.
Okay, the current scores are, in last place with 5 points, it's Mary. In joint fourth place... I suppose, with 7 points is Kirby and me. In second place with 8 points it's Andy, and in the lead with 11 points it's Smarty Pants Debbie. Whose go this is?
Well, before you go on, did anybody notice that when the doctor was running around doing his little comedy act looking for the cause, he runs up to this the scientific stuff and he says, oh good, a good assortment of pathological equipment.
Yeah.
Pathology. Pathological. I don't know if it was deliberate or not.
I don't know, but that would be a first doctor thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Debbie.
Yes.
Who was in charge of the moon base?
I know.
Hobson.
What was his nickname?
Who are you asking?
Anybody.
I am a hobby.
Bonus point there for Kirby.
Seriously?
Really? Okay.
Mary.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Not me neither.
Mary.
Yes.
Which ocean was the hurricane in?
I know.
Atlantic.
Oh dear, I get a point. Hey, about time. I have another point for ages. Who said I know first?
Andy said it first.
I think I got there first.
Go on, Andy.
Pacific.
Not a lot of oceans to choose from there, to be fair.
There's the Indian Ocean.
Later, don't you?
Yeah, there's the Indian. There's the... I don't know. What else is there?
I've forgotten. Is it... Whose go is it now? I've lost where I was.
That was my question.
Right, so this is Andy's go, yes?
Okay.
What hurricane was affecting Miami?
I know.
That's not supposed to be a sound of the hurricane, is it?
You know what? I've got it written down. I can't read my own writing.
Oh dear!
It looks like Hurricane Curry. I'm gonna. What have I written? What have I written there?
Hurricane Vindaloo.
Lucy.
Let's do that bell again.
My writing is a curry.
Lucy.
Sky with diamonds.
I think Lister must have infected you when you heard that name.
Obviously, he's thinking about Vindaloo quite a lot there. Mm-hmm. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
What did Ben tell Polly they were nearly out of?
Joker, interferon.
Well done. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
When did the graviton start playing up? I'll rephrase the question. In which period did the graviton start playing up?
I know.
At the start of period 12.
Well done. It was a bit of a vague
You're
question.
You're too many notes.
Mary.
Not as many as I used to, actually.
Yes.
Mary.
Yeah.
I think I might have misspelt this question, but I'll read it out as it should have been spelled. Right. Mary, how long did the doctor describe the microorganism?
How long did he describe it?
No. How did the doctor describe the microorganism? Don't say long, I do apologise.
I think I know.
How did he describe it in medical terms?
Some kind of a retrovirus.
No.
No, okay.
Now, who said that they knew?
I think Andy did.
Go on then, Andy.
Is it a neurotronic agent?
No.
Not exactly.
No, it's not. Sorry. No. Another point for me.
It's a neurotropic virus.
Now, why didn't you say so? It's actually described as
a large neurotropic virus.
So if you knew the answer, why didn't you chime in with it?
Because somebody else said I know.
Someone else said I know first. But
yeah.
I'll let you off then. Right.
We're
actually,
being polite and considerate because I think it's Andy's question. Think we bicker a lot.
Shut up. I think it's Andy's question.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Good way.
Andy's... Shut up! Is it Andy's question?
I don't know what time it is.
Who? Well, the microorganism question was Mary's, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was mine.
Andy's question, then. Okay. Who was shot dead by the Cybermen?
Anders.
I know.
And his name B, and his number was 7.
Okay, we don't get any points for that, but Kirby.
Master.
Why was Jamie of no value to the Cybermen?
I know.
Because he had a head wound.
I'll give you a point for that. Yeah. Not quite out how it was in the script that made me laugh, but go on in, Andy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He injured his head.
He's of no value, is he? Yeah.
No, in the script, it was because his head was hurt. That's how it was in the script. So I'll let you
Well, that's a wound.
No, but in the script, it made me laugh, and that's why I picked that thing out, because his head was hurt.
Give me 2 points, because it's the same thing.
Go on, then.
Yeah, I think he deserves 2 points. Yeah.
All right. You pedantic people. Right, let's have a score update then before we next round of questionings. In last place, with 5 points, it's Mary. I seem to be saying that quite a lot recently.
You always say that.
In fourth place, with 10 points, it's me. In joint second place, with 15 points each. Oh, I got that wrong. In second place, with 14 points, it's Kirby. But in joint first place, with 15 points each, is Andy and Debbie.
In that case, Kirby's third.
Oh, my.
Right, Debbie's go.
Yes?
How did the Cybermen get in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Through a hole in...
Pardon?
Through a hole in the stores.
Near enough, I suppose.
Yeah.
Managing to infect the sugar on the way.
Mary?
Yes?
How many hours would it take for the Graviton to drive the men insane without the headgear, Mary?
10?
Go on in, Andy.
12.
Right then. Andy.
Yep.
What is nail varnish remover, specifically?
Oh, I know.
You've gone very quiet.
Acetone.
Got there in the end. Kirby.
Master.
Who did the Doctor have a conversation with while the Cybermen experimented with the Graviton?
Himself.
Ding.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right.
I noted that earlier.
Did you?
Yeah, he did. He noted it quite distinctly.
He did. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Ben call the solvent concoction?
Polycocktail.
Mary?
Yes?
What was Nil's surname?
Ivan?
Pardon?
Ivan?
Okay, anybody?
Nope.
Oh, good. That time I got some points. It's Jensen.
Oh, yeah!
Andy?
Well, if you knew it, you should have said something.
Andy, who was given the task of trying to get through to Earth?
Charlie.
Kirby.
Master.
Why could they not contact the relief ship as it headed toward the sun? Is that understandable?
Yes.
It didn't sound it when I was listening back to myself.
Because of a non-scientific thing in this particular context, the Doppler effect.
Why did you have to go because of... Why couldn't you have just said the Doppler effect?
Because I noticed that while watching it.
You just had to say the Doppler effect. That was the answer to the question.
It's me.
Okay. Score update. In last place with 5 points, might as well just play that bit over and over again.
Oh,
was Mary.
We all know. Just skip to the next one.
In fourth place with 13 points is me. In, oh, this is difficult to work out. In third place with 18 points is Kirby. In second place with 19 points is Debbie. And in first place with 20 points is Andy.
Hey.
Oh.
My
blimey.
Yes, there's 3 questions left and they're 3 for all. First 3 for all question is thus. Why wouldn't the graviton shift initially?
Oh, I think I know.
Go on then. What's your name?
The angular cutout.
Ah, bugger. I've got it written down there as well.
Uh-huh. Next free-for-all question is this. How long would it take to get the graviton back in order?
I know.
Go on then, Andy.
2 hours.
Okay, and the final one, it all hangs on this. What does the time scanner do?
I think I know.
Uh-oh.
A glimpse of the future, or second sight, as Jamie calls it.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thing.
Right, Mary didn't use a joker. 4 points to me.
Oh, God.
You shouldn't make it so hard for yourself.
I beg your pardon?
That's what she said.
Ah.
What a very dirty laugh. Right, then, the final scores. Ah, in last place, with 5 points, is Mary. In third place, with 17 points, me. In, oh, sorry, fourth place, not third place. In third place, with 22 points, Andy. In second place, with 23 points, Debbie. And the winner this week, with 36 Yay. Points, is Kirby. Doesn't sound very happy about it.
That's because yay! That's because I said the Debbie was going to win. Correct.
Yes.
Once again, Debbie scuppers her own yes. victory.
I just had to answer an interesting email from the Geek Daughter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She's going to be. We're trying to arrange it so she can come with me to the early stuff for ConGT, where I'm going to be helping to entertain Colin Baker on Thursday.
Are you browsing other pages at the moment, Kirby?
Huh? No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not. Why? Is there an issue?
Yeah, you're just going a bit cyber. Sure.
Anyway, we're going to be taking, like last year when I took... Andrew Cartmell into Nashville. We're going to be taking Colin Baker into Nashville.
Cool.
And entertain him. And so Julia wants to come along, but she...
What a surprise.
She needs to ask her professor for Thursday if she can take a test early. So she was asking me, how do you write an email like this?
Excellent. Just interesting, going back to the quiz, obviously if Debbie hadn't answered that last question correctly, Andy would have won.
Andy would have won, yes.
Yeah. Oh, away it goes. Oh, away it goes, isn't it?
Yes.
That's life.
And Mary would have finished last place with...
Really?
Regardless.
Never mind. We love Mary. Don't we love Mary, everybody?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because without me, you know, one of you would have to be at the bottom.
Okay, let's look at Doctor Who news. I'd love to be able to play the actual news music in the background live, but I can't. I suppose, couldn't I? But I won't. Yes, Big Finish 4th Doctor Adventures finale Big Finish announced details on the finale to the current series of The Fourth Doctor Adventures, which stars Tom Baker, Lala Ward and John Leeson. Returning to the series is the character of Cuthbert, played by David Warner, and his faithful assistant, Mr. Doric, Toby Haydock, friend, well, not more than a friend of the show, family member of the show. Oh, I don't know, he's just right up there. I wonder if we can get him on the 300.
An honorary member.
I beg your pardon?
get him on the 300 show if you possibly can.
Apparently, the Black Guardian is played by David Troughton. In that particular, or one of those stories, yeah. But I haven't heard any of these. I think I've heard one of the Big Finish Tom Baker stories. So I'm really looking forward to getting the opportunity to listen to all of them at some point. Crave TV announced to stream Doctor Who in Canada. Now Doctor Who is actually going to be streamed. I think is it on the Amazon platform?
No.
What? It was going to, and then they didn't.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that one.
They put a tweet out as if they were, but then they, and the news got out all over the place, but then apparently they withdrew the tweet.
Oh, why?
Yes, they did. Yeah, it's like, no, that's not happening.
Possibly. They're not going to do it, or maybe things are being negotiated. What I'm hoping is that perhaps they will, and perhaps Netflix will get it back again.
Oh, I hope so. That would be nice, because I enjoy watching it on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't mind the fact that since I have everything recorded anyway, I can watch anytime I want to, but it was just convenient to watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a competition roundup, which I'm not going to talk about, because it's nothing to do with us, really.
No.
Big Finish regular range during 2016. Anybody want to hear about this?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to anyway.
Sure.
Waters of Amsterdam, starring Peter Davison and my old friend Janet Fielding, my old pen pal.
Letter writing friend.
Yeah. Yes.
Pen pals. Waters of Amsterdam is good.
That should be already out because it says released January 2016.
It is Aquitaine, out and it's good.
That's supposed to be released around about now-ish.
Yeah, Aquitaine is out. I haven't listened to it yet.
That's another Peter Davison story.
Another
Peter Davison story, the Peterloo Massacre. That's due in March. Busy old Dieter Paverson. And You Will Obey Me. That's coming out in April. Guess who's in it?
Peter Davison.
Correct. I think there's a pattern here.
Free Beavers.
Vampire of the Mind. Guess who's in that one?
Peter Davison.
Colin Baker.
Yeah.
And Alex McQueen.
Well, that's for Debbie. That's for Mary. And the final one is...
Fell it willingly into the trap.
He did indeed. Is The Two Masters. Right then, who directs in that one then? No, old Mary, James. You reading the page, you can shut your face. Who directs that one then, Debbie? The Two Masters. McCoy. Pardon?
I don't know, Sylvester McCoy.
You do know, you've got the page up.
Yes, I haven't indeed. Actually, I've got the
Marzi
up.
You got what up?
Jeffrey Beavers and Alex McQueen.
I tell you about, you know, Mary, you like your double entendres and innuendo, don't you?
I do.
My lovely friend Lucy at work, who works behind the cafeteria counter, being barista and stuff like that, she came up to me the other day and said, "Oh, Adam, have you got any wipes? My knob's gone all crusty." And she does this sort of thing all the time.
Is she aware she's doing it?
No. That's what makes it funny.
That's what makes it good, is when you're not aware.
But that's what she said. the funniest one being, and I apologise, but it's got to be said, was... had one of my colleagues, Angela, many years ago, actually, it was, and she was upstairs in the freezer just getting some stock out. And when you go into cauldrons, you have these sort of plasticky things hanging down, to keep some of the air in. And she'd gone in the freezer, and my other colleague, Ben, decided to punch these sort of hangy downy things, which then shed loads of ice on her. And she came downstairs and said, "I'm all wet because Ben's been playing with me flaps." I thought that's a Mary one if I ever heard of it. Anyway, right. Peter Capaldi is in Complete Shakespeare. We've done that one. That was a while back. We've gone back on ourselves. I'm not going to go backwards. But there you are. That's Doctor Who News, everybody. Sponsors, Mary.
Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Nah.
Yeah, it's whowon.co.uk,
isn't it? Yeah, I haven't actually got anything new
I'm
on there.
I'm surprised they didn't come out share with that.
So I'm going to whiz through some of the latest products, even if they talk over me, listeners.
Sorry.
Space Museum and Doctor Who Magazine 496, Forgotten Lives.
I've refreshed this page so many times thinking they must have something else on here.
State of Decay and Doctor Who Magazine 495, with coming soons being And You Will Obey Me, which we just talked about, funny enough, mm-hmm. Churchill Years, Dalek Tin Plaque, Diary of River Song, Jigsaw in Tin TARDIS.
Mine's apparently due for delivery on the 31st of March.
Jigsaw?
No, not my Jigsaw.
Oh.
Diary of River Song. I'm going to get the jigsaw.
It's a 150-piece jigsaw of the TARDIS, I think. Yeah. That might be worth getting. It's only £3.99.
No, I want to get that because I want something to do on the train.
Well, you want to do a jigsaw? I'd get travel sick if I did that.
No, of Death. I like messing with Play-Doh and things like that on the train. I'm talking about Isla.
Is it true that you named her Isla because of your love of the Isla Wight?
Not at all.
Was that true? Though? Or was that just a myth?
That's a myth.
I'm sure I've heard you say that once. Or was it just to wind somebody up?
I was winding someone up. Yeah. You probably heard me when I worked at the co-op with you.
Yes. I was just curious.
If someone's going to suggest it, then I'm going to run with it. No, she's named for the island of Isla, with a silent Y, up in Scotland, mm-hmm. because of her Scottish heritage.
Oh, he's so sweet. Right. So that's whowon.co.uk. Lavazzi. Our lovely Lavazzi people.
I've been wearing my Lavazzi scarf.
I've swapped back to my more traditional.
If Lavazzi ever wants to give samples.
I love my Lavazzi scarf. I wore it out. We went to a party down in Cowes on Friday night, and I wore it and got some nice.
I love my Lavazzi scarves. And jumpers and umbrella. So my Lavazzi products are some of my favourite. Yes?
Can I go back to Netflix for a second?
Pay attention on the podcast. Watch your film later.
What?
Film later.
I was silent there for a while because I didn't want to sound share-like.
That's unlike.
I was looking on Netflix and... Even though they've removed Doctor Who, they still have Torchwood, and they have something I didn't expect, Wizards versus Aliens.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Which is vaguely Doctor Who related.
Yeah. Have you watched it?
No.
No. Oh, well, there you go then.
How is it?
I wouldn't watch it. I'm not interested in it, I'm afraid. Sorry. Anyway, right. So also, if you go to... audible.co.uk/20MB, you will get the opportunity.
How would you spell that 20 megabyte part?
20 MB.
I'm looking at it at the moment, and I'm really torn between a Game of Thrones and
If you'd allow me to explain to the listeners, if you go to that page, that's audible.co.uk/20MB, you will get the opportunity to take a 30-day free trial in which you get to choose from a vast array of titles, audiobooks.
Adam, they've got the whole Sherlock on that offer.
Yeah, but I think you can only choose one of those Sherlocks, to be fair, as far as this free offer goes. But if you like the free offer and you like their service, you can retain your subscription and get Sherlock and any other title you so wish to get from their vast array of audiobooks.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun looking through this, actually, just trying to work out what I'm going to have.
Okay. I think we can now move on to next week. Next week is the 300th episode. As I've said, we'll not be reviewing a story from The Journey next week. The week afterwards, 301, or if it indeed it is 301, because I don't know what's happening between 301 and 305, but watch this space. But the next time we get all together to review a story, it will be the Macra Terror. So anybody who likes to follow along, that's the one you need to listen to and and gain knowledge on, and preferably send
that's
us.
That's pretty much all you can do is listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know what, yeah, I mean. You can watch a reconstruction. I'm looking forward to seeing something, some sort of reconstruction of it.
I think I have two reconstructions of it. But
Okay, well, that's what we'll be looking at next week, and not next week. Sorry, the week after.
No, week after. Yes,
the week after. Week after. Whatever. So, if you want to, like I say, play along? That's the one you need to watch. And then what you need to do is send us in your thoughts on it, or thoughts on the show, to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Yes, we do have an email address. Maybe because I haven't been reading out, people haven't been sending emails in. But apparently, since I mentioned doing this 300th episode, we've had a lot of people showing interest that don't normally write feedback into the show. And in fact,
Master,
I even got some interest from Glade Packer, who was our first ever feedback contributor.
Packer?
Hmm. So it'd be very nice to get Glade on the show.
Packer?
Packer?
You were going to say something a little bit less than what you're saying now, Kirby.
What?
You were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, I post the feedback address every week when I ask for feedback.
Yeah, but that's to only people who are actually members of the Facebook group. Because there might be some people in the world who hate Facebook as much as you hate Apple.
There are. I've got friends who...
I don't hate Apple. I dislike it.
You just dislike iTunes. Yes, but I'm saying some people...
iTunes is horrible.
If you say so. Right, so that's it. I'm really looking forward to next week. Don't quite know what's going to happen yet.
When are we doing the Macroterra as far as recording?
I've just knocked my mouse off the table. Hang on.
Ooh, ow.
I caught it by its tail. Pardon?
Nothing.
Right, like I say, next Saturday is the 300th. Oh, darn.
She's whimpering.
Oh, Sunday. Hang on, when am I doing that photo thingy? Oh dear, what? I haven't written it down. I got a night in the studio at some point. I haven't written in me. Oh bums! I don't know when it is.
In your dude, I'll watch it.
Well, I think it might be that we're recording on the 13th of March.
Sunday.
No, it's a Sunday, you silly man.
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the calendar. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong day.
Unless...
Sorry, yes. Yeah, I still look at February.
Yeah, unless...
Master.
Yes.
Yeah, daylight saving time. When do you change?
End of March.
27th of March.
Okay, so this will make a change, so if we...
So if you want to go at 4 o'clock instead of 3...
I'll leave that to you to work out. And I need to find out off Stuart Gibbs when this studio night is. If it's Sunday the 6th, that's not a problem.
Oh, my goodness, my oldest daughter is about to turn 22. How did that happen?
What, you only just worked it out?
No, I just realized her birthday is coming up.
Oh, God.
I was looking through the archives. Oh. I was looking for the archives of the show, and I just could not find that brilliant bit where she said, don't call me by my name. It's not your oldest one.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but I couldn't find it. I just wanted the bit when I said call her Fred.
She was so
bad. But yeah, never mind. Anyway, yes, so until next time.
So we will do that the 13th at standard, at the normal time.
Yes, and
whatever time it is for us. Okay.
Unless I find something else I've got to do. Oh, my sonic screwdriver's just appeared from underneath the table. Thank you for listening to the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Did you fart then? Oh, it was you saying goodbye, wasn't it?
Podcast is an appvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.